Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
So here we are, and the situation in Afghanistan is getting exponentially worse. This from yesterday and news this morning, a suicide bomb attack on Thursday outside the Abbey Gate at Kabul's airport in Afghanistan killed 13 U.S. service members and injured at least 18 more, making it the deadliest day for U.S. troops in 10 years. So this is the result of Biden's failed exit strategy. Now, in a posture of retreat, our soldiers are being killed. There was a second explosion at the nearby Baron Hotel after the suicide bomb attack. Thursday's two suicide bombings near Kabul's international airport killed at least 95 Afghans. 95 Afghans needlessly killed in this failure, foreign policy failure. And this is what the Biden admin says. The Kabul attack will not deter U.S. from evacuation mission, even though more attempted attacks are expected ahead of the deadline. So, of course, we're going to keep going in the direction we're going. We're not going to turn around and re-exert our military strength, bring order to this situation, and defeat the enemy. We're going to keep retreating. And yesterday, at a press conference, heads turned and jaws dropped when Biden said this, quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell from NBC. That's how he starts his press conference. So who's running the show? We know Biden is in his old age losing his mind, so he must be taking cues from other people. Also, in this week in the news, I didn't get to mention, Kamala Harris, in a foreign policy speech on Monday in Singapore, discussed, here's what she talked about, Christmas shopping and climate change, but she failed to mention the current crisis in Afghanistan. Harris warned that climate change, this from the UK Daily Mail, warned that climate change and the pandemic have contributed to supply chain issues and suggested parents should consider getting Christmas presents now. So we have American soldiers dying needlessly in Afghanistan this week under terrorist attacks, innocent Afghan civilians being murdered, and our vice president is warning about the supply chain for Christmas because of alleged climate change, which is a bogus hoax. And the president himself is telling the press that he's receiving instructions from who knows who, because he's at the top, on who to call on in press conferences. This is a tragic and horrible state of affairs in our country right now. And I want to, again, use this as a springboard to explain that all of the debating and all of the pontificating of the elites about whether or not this or that political policy is right or wrong, as though there's some moral equivalency between the sides, that's getting a little exhausting at this point when we're seeing the devastating reality of bad and evil policy. So here's what a friend said to me, and I'm going to steal his line. We were talking yesterday. I'm giving another guy credit, a good buddy of mine, an electrician. He said this, brilliant comment, relativism only exists in university faculty lounges and woke pulpits. Here's what he means, relativism, cultural relativism, moral relativism, political relativism, as though all political ideas are equally viable. Voting for Trump is just as viable as voting for Biden. You can justify, particularly we heard that from a lot of pastors, Christians, even Mark Dever, Jonathan Lehman, Capitol Hill Baptist, that was the position of that church. We're not going to bind people's consciences. It's a liberty issue. You can vote for who you want. You can justify going to the political left or political right. You got Tim Keller, famous pastor from New York City, saying socialism is a completely viable option. Matt Chandler, David Platt, these guys telling us, oh yeah, we should recognize systemic racism, call it what it is, embrace the statements and values of the Marxist left and use their language and decry white privilege. So, in other words, all of these philosophies are equivalent, relative, politically viable. So I'll say it again. My friend said relativism only exists in university faculty lounges and woke pulpits. Here's what he means. It's all well and good to debate the merits and the finer points of Christian civilization and Christian law and whether or not we should be maintaining Christian law. Things like what? Things like border security, national sovereignty, citizenship, property rights, firearms and self-defense, individual autonomy, a merit-based society, personal responsibility, a work ethic, free market economics, private health care, free religious expression, fair trials by a jury of peers, a strong military, the rule of law, etc. The list goes on and on. All well and good to debate that. Whether or not we should be defending traditional American culture and the political system and values, or maligning it, saying the whole thing's been cursed and corrupt from the beginning because it's systemically racist and it's a system that was based on the exploitation of women and minorities. Should we, you know, we can debate back and forth. Should we be supporting that kind of Marxist speech or defending our traditional America and its founding as good and based on Christian principles? We can debate back and forth in our woke pulpits and give woke sermons and in the faculty lounges with these academic elites. But when reality sets in and we see the implementation of evil leftist, liberal, progressive Marxist policy, then we realize that there's not moral equivalency, political equivalency between all of these positions. When reality sets in and these Christian laws are abrogated or suspended or dissolved, or Christian guardrails on a society are removed, then barbarism and savagery becomes the ruling principle of the day, exactly what's going on in Afghanistan. Barbarism becomes the plumb line. It's all well and good to debate this when it doesn't seem to matter in your comfy faculty lounge or in your luxurious Western pulpit. Nor do the effects of suspending Christian law and implementing outrageous progressive liberal ideas, it doesn't seem to have much consequence. But for men and women like those people in Afghanistan right now and our soldiers who are being subjected to the misery of lawlessness, suffering theft and rape and murder, abduction, the property confiscation, bribery, corrupt governments, terrorist leaders, now the discarding of Christian political forms and the decrying and criticizing of the American way, what we call civilization, now that becomes a very painful and horrifying reality. Life, law and order, the sanctity of life and property, is not the rule and it's not the norm for human civilization across human history. It is the exception. Law and order, life and property is the exception, and it is only always the result of Christian civilization. That needs to be defended. All well and good to debate the merits and the finer points of whether or not we can vote for Trump over Biden. Because Trump is, as I've said numerous times this week, he's allegedly uncouth and prideful and rude, and Biden is compassionate, and he's for so-called social justice. But how chaotic is the situation right now in Afghanistan when our troops are dying? That is all waxing philosophical. Can we vote for Biden? Can we vote for Trump according to our conscience? Trump is mean. But the reality is real-time chaos and the loss of American and Afghan innocent life and American servicemen on foreign soil. The existential reality on the ground right now is mothers, as I said this week, mothers handing babies over to foreign soldiers across barbed wire to save their lives. The existential reality is that our troops are being killed. So now it doesn't really seem like a preference issue should we support a Biden or a Trump administration. And this isn't about Trump. This is about what is right and wrong. Now it seems like a stark cold reality that anybody who got on the side of Biden, particularly among Christians and so-called conservatives, made a really wrong decision. And not only that, a devastatingly wrong decision with severe consequence that goes beyond mean tweets and hurt feelings. Now, our men are dying and people are being murdered. It's inexcusable to defend this kind of political failure and to say it's merely a matter of preference. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. Issues of culture, society, politics, law, civilization, these are not preference issues, particularly for the Christian. They have real-time consequences, and we need to re-exert as a nation, as a culture, and in our foreign policy, we need to re-exert the Christian principles of law and order and justice. And we need to save our people in Afghanistan.